Today on Real Radio.
I've seen wise people with little education be extremely smart in life. And I have seen people with great education with no wisdom do the silliest things.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Pastor Jack's giving a lesson about how God the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. And when you think of His work within us, it's tempting to automatically think of the mystical, the supernatural, you know what I mean? But regarding the Spirit's various works within us, among the greatest of those works is that of wisdom, divine wisdom, that comes only from understanding the mind of God, His Word, and His will for our lives. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series in a message called The Holy Spirit at Work in You.
In fact, Jesus came to announce to us without a doubt regarding this world, this earth, and heaven, that there's a heaven that awaits us, that God's Word is true. He will not lie. And God's Word announces to us that not only is there a heaven, but the Bible says that God wants you and I there. And I'm excited about that. He wants us there. And that just makes sense. Because if you are in any way connected with a loving family, for example, that love that you share with one another, there is a deep sense of family that God has engineered in the hearts and the minds of His creation, His people around the world. And there is this sense that life is most pleasurable and most exciting and most rewarding when love is exchanged in the context of a friendship or family. And that is a small token, as it were. It is a deposit in our hearts and in our minds that God wants to do not only a great work in your life and my life now in this world, but ultimately it's the Bible that tells us that God desires that you and I call Him Abba. He's the one that says, I want you to call me Father. And so tonight we need to continue on in our look about how do we get from here to heaven, and we are in part two of the Holy Spirit at work in you. One of the great things, in fact, if not the greatest thing, regarding how do you get from here to heaven as a believer, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said to the church at Rome, I beseech you, that word is, I urge, I personally challenge you. I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That word service is also translated as worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then from there, I want you to run over to the verse that we're using as a launch point tonight in our study, John 14, verse 16. Starting there, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, a comforter. The word in Greek is parakletos, one that will come alongside you to help you, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Listen to what Jesus said to the disciples. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And so we are looking at a very important section of this doctrine of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And church, we need to give every bit of attention to the person and the personage of the Holy Spirit. He's shrouded in mystery, and He ought not to be. The Bible's very clear about who He is. And we've looked last week at a list of things, and we'll pick it up where we left off and continue on in our understanding as to who is the Spirit of God. So if you missed last week, you can go to the website, you can listen or watch there anytime you want to catch up. But here we go, jumping into it, mark it down. Who is the Spirit of God? We pick it up here. He is God, the wise Spirit. Jot that down, that He's wise, that He is the Spirit of wisdom, the wise Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit being wise, the Bible announces this to us. We talk about the wisdom of God, coming upon a person. We'll see some examples of this in a moment. But when we talk about the wisdom of God, understand this. In Jude chapter 1, verse 24, listen to this. Jude 1, 24. It says there, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And all God's people said, amen. And that is a great statement. God alone is wise. You say, "Well, Jack, I've met some wise people in my life." That's great. And that's excellent. But when we talk about God being wise, we are talking about not only him being all wise, we are talking about him being the one that imparts wisdom to people. That is done by the person of the Holy Spirit. The Christian, mind you, as we are Christians here tonight, I assume, gathered together. The Christian tonight, listen, because of our association with Christ, being a Christian, that is the word Christian meaning a follower of Christ. It doesn't matter what country you're in, doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what upbringing, what level you are in the strata of life. You could be rich, you could be poor, somewhere in between. That doesn't matter. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're called a Christian. And the Christian should be the wisest person that you know. Think about that for a moment. Our God is all wise. According to the Bible, we shall see tonight, the Holy Spirit dwells within the life of the believer. We're going to see in a moment that the Holy Spirit has made it possible for us to have wisdom by asking God for it. He wants us to ask God for wisdom. Thus, I can only conclude that we as Christians ought to be very wise people. Tonight, you might say, "Well, Pastor Jack, I'm not educated. I don't have a PhD or whatever." Hey, that has nothing to do with wisdom. You can be what some would consider a country bumpkin, somebody that is, from the backwoods somewhere. And in our evaluation, you're not educated. And yet, that's not true at all in the sense that God's wisdom is available to anybody. I've seen wise people with little education be extremely smart in life. And I have seen people with great education, with no wisdom, do the silliest things. Wisdom, it's different than what we might think. I think the Christian should be, for example, the best at their jobs and whatever we do. The Christian should be the most creative person, the most dependable, the most trustworthy. Why? Because the Spirit of God is available to us, and he's the one that wants to give us wisdom in all that we do. In our jobs, in our marriages, in our relationships, wisdom. But we need to be asking him. Because our God is wise and because our God is creative, dependable, because he's trustworthy, I believe that he imparts that to the believer. That is the wise or wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It's a great thing to realize that the word means wise or wisdom. It means this, discretion. The word means the application of knowledge. The word means in the Bible, divine insight. God wants to give that to us. And when we talk about, for example, praying, we all want to pray. We all pray. We talk to God as believers. By the way, that's one of the true marks of a true Christian, is that there'll be this increasing dialogue with God in prayer. And when we pray and we talk to God, what we're actually asking God in prayer is that our hearts and our minds might become one with God. That's what we pray. We don't pray to change God's mind. We pray to get our mind and heart in line with God. And that will bring wisdom. Listen, Christian, it's a rough road when we live the Christian life telling God what we're going to do. Like we inform him. We're going to send God a text message. "Hey, God, this is what I'm going to be doing today." It's better for us to say, "God, you sit on the throne. I'm here on earth. You interrupt my life any way you want today. You speak to me." Is he not God, church? Then let's invite him to take full control. He's got the wisdom, and he'll dole it out if we ask. He's our Father in heaven, and he wants his children to be wise. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2:10. It says, "For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." That is a verse that means that the Holy Spirit, who of course understands everything, know this, mark it down. Are you listening? Everything that you and I are going to encounter from this moment onward, The Holy Spirit knows what we should do about whatever that thing is. What's going on in your life? The Holy Spirit knows what the answer is. I think we so often suffer so many things unnecessarily because we don't stop to ask. We don't ask for directions or we don't ask for help. I think there's some great examples about God's wisdom at work by the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. Didn't we read it today as the church is going through the one-year Bible together? We read it today in the life of Joseph. Didn't it tell us that Joseph was a man with the Spirit of God that had given him wisdom? Man, we need a Joseph today in America, don't we? Wow. Oh, God, bring us a Joseph. Wise guy, smart man, yes. Educated, under the tutelage of the Pharaohs, yes, absolutely. But wise, the Bible says God gave him wisdom. And he's the one that had not only the ability to discern dreams, but God spoke to him and led him through one of Egypt's most notorious and brutal famines in all of its history. And God gave the wisdom to prepare Egypt for that very difficult time. And then, of course, I let the cat out of the bag too soon, the wisdom of Solomon himself. The Bible says that he was the wisest man that ever lived. As he was placed as king over the nation of Israel, instead of Solomon asking God for wealth and for power and for victory and all this stuff, Solomon in his humble heart said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know when to come in, he said. I don't know when to go out. I need wisdom. And God gave Solomon great wisdom. And then I think, you know, you got to pick somebody in the more modern age. I think of Paul the Apostle had great wisdom. Yes, he was greatly educated, but Paul was given wisdom of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 11:33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, who unsearchable, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Listen to this. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? God's wisdom is awesome and his knowledge is incredible. And the Bible says, who's been his counselor? Who can know the mind of God? But listen carefully. This is almost going to sound like a contradiction, yet it's not. Who's known the mind of the Lord? The answer is an absolute overwhelming nobody. And then Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So wait a minute, what is the Bible saying here? That God's wisdom is beyond this world and beyond comprehension? Yes. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Nobody. But then the Bible turns right around and says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Church, that's exciting. Because I don't have to walk around anymore being uninformed about what's going on in life. I can say, Lord, speak to me. What do you want me to know? I don't remember which one it is. Maybe you do. It just comes to my mind right now that there's an Old Testament prophet, it might be Amos, who says that the Lord says or does nothing unless he first speaks or reveals it to his prophets. Well, if that's true, and it is, because it's in the Bible, then Lord, what do you want me to do in my life? I need your wisdom. What would be the proof then of having wisdom in our lives? Boy, some of you young people tonight, you need to ask God for wisdom. Can I say something that just flat out, right, just in your face upset you? Just going to make you grind your teeth. It's this. We've got a generation that knows so much on the surface about everything and nothing very deep. And that's a dangerous thing. We hear a lot today. In fact, we have more, quote, experts than we've ever had in human history. And that makes me insecure because I think if I hear all these experts about this and that, what are we really announcing? What are we really saying? This is an important time for young people to really dig in and know what you believe, certainly in your faith. But the world is almost longing for somebody who knows something very, very well. And we live in this age where it's a 15-second snippet of information. Oh, I know all about that. I got it off of YouTube. Or I know all about that. I got it off of Wikipedia. Oh, I know all about that. I saw a clip on the internet. Watch out, watch out. We live in dangerous days. We need the wisdom of God. in Luke 21:15, what does it look like then if we have the wisdom of God in our lives? Luke 21:15 says, Jesus said it, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist." One of the great marks of a spirit-filled Christian is that God's wisdom, which is of course his word, will flow from their mouths. God will give it to them. Luke 7:35, a very, very rare verse in the Bible that's read. Luke 7:35, the scripture there says, "Wisdom is justified of all her children." What does that mean? That means if you're walking with God, knowing the Word of God, that wisdom, which is found in the Bible, will be recognizable, will stand the test and the tide of attack and criticism when her children, that is, those who follow wisdom, stand like bulwarks in this world, stand like pillars. Boy, did you see the news this evening with Huntington Beach Pier and the huge waves hitting our coastline right now in this storm, and that pier is just standing there. Man, many of us have been on that pier since we were babies. I mean, that pier has been standing. And there's a big storm hitting that, and that pier is just standing like that. And you think about that regarding wisdom. Young people, old people, everybody in between. If we have the wisdom of God in operation in our lives, we can stand the tide of change and of variations and of all these things of life, these storms of opinion, these storms of trends, just stand there. And the world is looking for that. And look, you know that's true in a relationship. You want a man in your life or a woman in your life that is strong like a bulwark, like a pier, like a jetty rock in the midst of the storm. I don't know if you've seen, I think you have, that great photograph of that guy in that lighthouse. Now, of course, you know that big wave is coming and his back is to it. He doesn't see it coming, but you do because you're in the helicopter or whatever that photograph is, and that wave is coming against that lighthouse at sea. And that guy's standing there. He looks happy as a clam. He's just standing there. But the storm's behind him, coming at him. But he's in the lighthouse. He's on a rock. And it's a great picture. And wisdom will have that effect in our lives. The Bible is here indicating that the decisions that you and I make in life will be wise decisions. That's a great thing. But how do we get this wisdom? Well, you get wisdom just like you get everything else. You ask your dad for it. You ask your heavenly father for it. In James chapter 1, verse 5, listen to this. James 1, 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." What a great verse. Hey, yeah, you have any young kids? Put that in their room. You know, write it on their forehead or something. Stamp it on them. But did you hear the qualifier? The qualifier is very convicting in James 1:5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. Can I indict all of us tonight? We all lack wisdom. But why do we ask? That's why the if is right there in the Bible. Does not God know our hearts? Jack, you need wisdom. If you ask, I'll give it to you. We need to ask. So, how do we know if we have the wisdom of God working in our lives? We will make God-based decisions. We will not be led by our emotions. Oh, I've got to do this right now. Why? I don't know. I just have to. I feel like I should. Oh, I should marry him. Why? I feel like I should. Oh, I should marry her. Why? I feel like I should. Oh, don't do that. Buy, sell, this or that, turn left, turn right, based upon how we feel. That's how we got messed up in the first place. And the wisdom of God can galvanize us against being led by our emotions. Emotions are great if they're under control. And so we get wisdom by asking. And the fruit of wisdom is the right choices. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, famous verse in the Bible. Joshua 24, 15 there, Joshua says to the children of Israel, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers," or he goes on to say, "the God of Israel." Choose. That's a wise decision to choose God, to choose life, to back up and to slow down. It's a wise thing to do. Next, we move on to this, that He is God, the transforming Spirit. The transforming Spirit. He doesn't transform. He's the transformer. I love this about the Holy Spirit. Listen, all of us in this church, you guys are serious about Bible study. The worst thing in the world for a Christian to experience is to say, for example, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and yet spiritually they're still sucking on their thumb, or they're still walking around with their diapers sounds, you know, of Christian babyhood. Or if it doesn't go their way, they throw their Bible down and they're crying in the corner in the fetal position. And you say, well, you've been a Christian how long? I've been a Christian 30 years. Well, what you want to be able to say is, I've got 30 years experience at being a Christian. Amen. Some Christians have been Christians for 5 years with 40 years experience. You say, well, I want to be that kind of Christian. So do I. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. I want to pray and ask God, Lord, please let me have 30 plus years of experience as a Christian. But the worst thing in the world is to be a Christian for 30 years and have 1 year of experience. You never graduate. And yet the Holy Spirit, He's all excited. He wants to move on. He's the transforming Spirit. The salvation of a man or woman is based upon the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. But the sanctification of that believer is entrusted to the work of the Holy Spirit. And He does that by transforming us. That's why we have trials. I know none of us sign up for that. But you know, have we ever prayed, oh God, I want to grow. I want to grow deeper with You. And God says, really? That's great. Come on then. Where are we going? Right through that blender. We're going to go through that gauntlet right there. See that river? Let's go. Really, God? Yep. I want to quote this verse again. John 14:16. Listen carefully. John 14:16-18. Jesus said, just before He went back up into heaven, He told the disciples, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper. By the way, that is the declaration of the Trinity. Jesus is praying. He's going back to the Father, and He's going to ask the Father to send to us the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture really says about the Holy Spirit at work in you. In fact, that's the title of this series within a series, The Holy Spirit at Work in You. It's part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you catch the Real Radio broadcast on Wednesday, October 2nd? I sat down with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, and we talked about their new book called Turnaround at Home. Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Now, if you didn't hear the program, just visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button that simply says Broadcast. Realradioactive.org to hear Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, discuss their new book called Turnaround at Home. It's all about breaking those generational patterns. You know what I mean? Those things that our parents did that we vowed we'd never do. Well, if you're a parent, or perhaps soon to be one, and you've wondered, how can I move beyond the family pattern that I had growing up? That's what this book is all about. It was a great discussion, so visit realradioactive.org to hear it if you haven't already. And we're also making this our special offer. We'll send you Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Jack and Lisa Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.